broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Beautiful, overlooking Diamond Head and Hawaii's South Shore. Good day to you from Hawaii, the Golf Club Studios. It is Saturday, it's December 3rd. And in the clubhouse, Ryan Harrington, Golf World's senior writer, will be talking about the LPGA Q School, Tiger Woods, all things golf. Sean Martin will join us from PGA Tour Q School, Golf Week senior writer Sean Martin. Mary Armstrong, golf course architect. Of course, they announced the final eight golf course architects for the Olympics course that has to be built soon. Since the Olympics comes up in 2016, you'd want to have the golf course there. Beth Ann Baldry on an LPGA snafu at Q School. And Stephanie Kono, Hawaii's Stephanie Kono from Punahou, now at UCLA, is the center of that one. Ken Barley, a great Christmas gift for golfers and non. We'll be talking with him, too. But first, the sponsors who make the golf club possible.
Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club, brought to you by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing and air conditioning. Sheet metal, when you need a new roof, flashing gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen and custom stainless steel counters. Alakai Mechanical, their Nike golf ball giveaway to the 18th caller twice this morning. Also by the Hyundai Tournament of Champions at Kapalua on Maui, January 5th to the 9th. See the best of the best at the 2012 PGA Tour season opener on the Plantation Course at Kapalua Resort. Poipube Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr. Bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants and ancient places of worship. Poipu Golf Course, Hawaii's South Shore gem. Also by the Sony Open in Hawaii, the first full field event of the 2012 PGA Tour season, January 10th to the 16th. Buy tickets at friendsofhawaii.org or at any First Hawaiian Bank on Oahu. And of course, Star Protection. For your property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business or special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
And in the news this morning at the UBS Hong Kong Open, Alvaro Quiroz is in the lead 10 under. Peter Hansen, one stroke back. Y.E. Yang, one stroke back. And tied for third with Paiva Jung Hazavaz. I'm sure I've just completely destroyed, and I apologize profusely. I have a real hard time with Thai names. I really have to take a course in pronunciation because we have a lot of Thai players coming on strong in golf, as we will see the growth of golf around the world. It's happening. Rory McIlroy, you wonder what happened to Rory McIlroy? He is now fifth, seven strokes, he's seven under par. Shot a 70, didn't break par. Alvaro Quiroz had a 64, a 69, a 67. He's due for a win. He really is, and he's really very, very good. At the Ned Bank Golf Channel, Lee Westwood is 6 under, 12 under for, 6 under for the round. He had a shot a 70 and 12 under for the event. And we've got Graham McDowell in second with Jason Duffner and Robert Carlson tied for third. All right, and we have, of course, one other event that everybody's talking about because it's the Chevron World Challenge, and Tiger Woods is definitely showing signs of brilliance. Shot a 69 the first day, followed it with a 67, and that was even putting one in the water. He could have had an amazing score. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. Okay, Tiger Woods, Matt Kuchar, he really... It was a good day for Matt because KJ Choi also went into the water, did not recover from it quite as well as Tiger did, was playing beautifully, but shot a 73 after his first round 66. Probably, it's one of those, he looks so good. And we're going to bring in right now Golf World senior writer Ryan Harrington to the show. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Excellent. It's so good to have you. Thank you for jumping in early. Of course, what time is it now on the East Coast? It's just after noon?
Indeed, but not a problem at all. Glad that I can help out.
Excellent. What did you've been watching, I assume, the Chevron World Challenge. What do you think, Tiger Woods?
from all reports and from what I'm seeing with my own eyes, you know, you're beginning to believe that finally he's about to come back here. And I think that the biggest struggle this season when watching Tiger Woods was watching him put four rounds together at any point in time, because he would always seem to have a round or two there where you go, oh, okay, you know, I can see that the swing is starting to come to form a little bit, and he's finally getting, you know, the changes grooved in, if you will, and whatnot. But there was always then that big round, that 75, 76, where you're like, wait a second, no, he doesn't have full confidence in it yet or not. And so I think that's the biggest thing for us to see in the next couple days here is, can he put two more rounds together? He's got a 3-shot lead right now and looks fantastic. I totally agree. I mean, this is as good as he's looked in a long, long time. And we saw the beginning of it perhaps in Australia, not only at the President's Cup, but at the Australian Open. And so now, can he put two more rounds together, hang in there, and win? And if that's the case, my gosh, I mean, we're all going to be pretty excited for 2012, aren't we?
Uh-huh. Because I don't care what the tour, Ty Votaw was on Golf Channel's Morning Drive. He was co-hosting on Friday, and he was asked how important Tiger Woods is to the tour. He said, well, not as important going into 2012 as he was going into 2011, because we've got this huge crop of young players, and we had so many of these first-time players who won. So many, 14 were 20 in their 20s. We had, I'm not sure what the number was right now, 18 first-time winners, 36 all one. He was very bullish on the new guys, the young kids, the Rory McIlroys, the Ricky Fowlers, all of them, Webb Simpson, and right he is. But I don't care how bullish you get on the young players. Yes, there's depth on the PGA Tour, but to me, Tiger Woods just brings a whole different element of entertainment into the picture.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, Tiger Woods brings my mom to watching golf. My mom doesn't care about golf. These other young guys, she knows about them because obviously I cover them and talk about them, but she wants to watch a Tiger Woods or a Phil Mickelson or a brand like that. And so regardless, and all due respect to Ty is right. Actually, we had a great year this year to look at some young players and begin to know them a little bit more. And indeed, I think to casual golf or to regular, you know, hardcore golf fans, they're going to like watching these guys. These guys are going to be good players who we can follow for a while now. But for casual golf fans or just casual sports fans who look in on golf every now and then, Tiger Woods is the barometer here. And if he's playing well again, those eyeballs will come back to golf and the tour will be a more exciting place.
Yes. Yes, because he'll bring the eyeballs back, and the people who have been only watching Tiger will then get to know all those new players. And then the snowball begins. But it also takes the media to, you know, to start focusing on some of the others. And 2011, that's been the real test, is how much can you give us? Who are these people? But those people also have to step up, as Tiger does, and create a buzz, and he just does that. Look at his shoes. I understand why he wants to. I know they look weird, but it's part of it's a whole new way of thinking about the feet and the connectivity to the ground. You see these guys, have you seen them on the East Coast? They've got their running shoes with toes. They're
indeed,
toes.
Indeed.
Yes, those toesies, right? They're the strangest thing. My kid wears them. They're weird. He tried to sell me on them. You know, I'm like, no, thank you. They're a little bit too strange. But there's a whole philosophy. And if you go barefoot and you walk along and you feel your feet engaged in the process, I can understand what he's doing. It's also much less taxing on the back and the rest of the body if your feet are more engaged. So
definitely. And, yeah. his knee. He's got to watch out for that knee, obviously,
yeah,
down the road, too. That's his biggest issues, all things considered, are going to be physical for his long term. Can he catch Jack and stuff like that? So if these things can help alleviate tension there, by all means, he's got to try them.
Go for the shoes. He's designing shoes now. Let's switch gears and go to the LPGA, something Ty Votaw has talked about, too, and have you heard this mantra? Apparently, it started many, many years ago. I think I remember a long, long, long time ago, about 10 years ago. Someone said, you know, watching the LPGA is good because you can learn more from watching women play. It's more realistic. So we all said that, hoping that more people would get, you know, jazzed about watching the women play. But he made a really good point. He hit the nail when he said, the question is, how do you translate that and make that learning thing, that, you know, watch them because you'll learn something, make that entertainment? They haven't been able to do that yet. So at Q School now, we've got an interesting young a group of young and older women, not old, we talk 30s, excuse me. The game of golf can be played for your lifetime, but when we've got 17-year-olds trying to break in, it's just a very interesting group of women playing for their LPGA Tour cards. And some of the notables that popped up on my radar, I don't know a lot of the top women on the leaderboard, and I was hoping you did. Christine Song is in the lead with a 66-70-70. Strong player.
Yeah, indeed. No, she's a 20-year-old who, like you said, part of this young group of players who, has a mindset that they can go out there and they can, you know, perform right away. And, this is her third year, actually, as a professional. She's had LPJQ status a couple times here, and so she's trying to get back and get in full graces here. But she's played very, very well. She's three shots clear, I believe, of the lead going into today. And it looks comfortable, at least from a standpoint of being in that top 20, which will get her LPGA status back for next year. And, you know, looking down the leaderboard, there's a bunch of young players who are just out of college. Jenny Lee, who's second on the leaderboard right now, is a Duke grad. Jekyll Conkolino was an All-American at Vanderbilt. Stephanie Kono, you know, from Hawaii, who's currently an All-American. Yes. There's a totally different story here that we can talk about maybe.
Yes.
Sydney Clannon, All-American Auburn. So you've got a lot of players who are just out of college who played very, very well collegiately and know how to win golf tournaments. And if they can translate, get an opportunity to play out onto the LPGA Tour. And then the biggest problem right now on the LPGA Tour is just having enough events to play in that aren't limited field ones that can have a full field and give you an opportunity to go out there and play. And if they get, you know, I think a lot of these players on this leaderboard right now, that if they get their cards and they get an opportunity to play a few weeks and can build some momentum, can really make a splash and can make it interesting out there for the mainstays like Yanni Tseng and Christy Kerr and the players that we see week in and week out.
Yeah, exactly. As you mentioned, a lot of these young women have been on the LPGA Tour and are trying to keep their cards. It's kind of like having to go back to Q School. You know, you're like Dean Wilson from Hawaii, who ended the season at 130-something and not enough to stay on tour with full playing privileges, and he's back, you know, and fighting for his card again. As something like, it looks like Angela Oh is in that same position. Paola Moreno from Colombia, she won the 2006 Colombia Open, went to USC. She says her most memorable moment was back in 2008. She actually made the U.S. Women's Open cut. She's won on the Futures Tour. She's been on the LPGA Tour a year, has not won, did not do well. And now, can I ask you a question? Is it true that no one from Duke has ever won on the LPGA Tour?
As surprising as it sounds, indeed, no one has yet. So, having Jenny Lee out there, you know, currently yes. Amanda Blumenhurst, Brittany Lang is out there, but amazingly, no one has gone through, considering how dominant a college program they've been over the last decade or so. They haven't done it yet, so it'll be interesting to see who's the first one to finally break through.
Truly. Okay, we're going to take a break and come back. We've got Big Break Ireland, the women that were playing for the big money at Big Break are now playing for their cards at Q School. And we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Hitting the Greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Aloha, this is Dustin Johnson. Don't miss the excitement at the Plantation Course here in Maui during the PGA Tour season opening Hyundai Tournament of Champions.
On January 5th through 9th in Kapalua, Bubba Watson, Adam Scott, and KJ Choi highlight a champions-only field. All fans are free on Thursday's Pro-Am Day. Competition tickets are $15 in advance at pgatour.com/Hyundai or by calling 665-9160. Youth 18 and younger are free with a ticket at adults.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal. That's Alakai Mechanical.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back. I just wanted to get everybody, you know, settled down. So, oh, by the way, Dustin Johnson. Oh, don't settle down. Get on the phone. Yes, you could win. Woo! Four nights in San Francisco, okay, at the Galleria Park Hotel in a suite. You'll be flying on Hawaiian Airlines. They've got that nonstop flight to New York. Well, they'll stop in San Francisco. That's where your destination will be. And you will play two rounds if you don't want to take somebody with you, you know, but it's two people can play together, or you get to have two rounds at Harding Park. All right, be the ninth caller to qualify for the drawing, 808-296-5467. Golf Channel's been at Morning Drive, you know, I watch them in the morning, and you know, they've been kind of like talking about moving it to the West Coast. The Hyundai Tournament of Champions kind of bothers me for a lot of reasons. But it was nice to see Ty Votaw say that the PGA Tour likes Hawaii as a partner, that we've been a good partner. Thank you so much. And they will do everything they can to beef up the product that would be the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, including extending the qualifying to possibly the last 2 years rather than just 1 year, maybe. But he thinks the Monday finish will be good for the event. Hawaii's been a good partner, as has Sony, and they don't plan to dump Hawaii as the PGA Tour opening event location. And I thank you very much. Let's take a look at some of the folks on the Q School leaderboard from Hawaii. Not looking good for Ayaka Kaneko. She may miss the cut. It's projected at 70 right now. She's tied for 77. Shayna Miyajima and Kimberly Kim had a really, really disappointing day. I'm sure she's just completely bummed. A friend of the golf club, Stephanie Connolly, is also in danger of missing the cut. But again, Stephanie Kono is not. Let's get to Stephanie Kono right now a little bit about... Interesting thing happened. It used to be really easy. If you wanted to be on the Futures Tour, you went to, and you didn't have to immediately give up your amateur status. And I could have this completely wrong because I'm confused about the LPGA qualifying. It's not cut and dry. But then if you wanted to go on the LPGA Tour, you had to go to the... Ryan Harrington is the senior writer for Golf World magazine. He also writes Golf World Monday, college golf's most unique event, is one of his featured stories. Very nicely done. I like this story about the Western Refining College All-America Golf Classic that you wrote. You know, they're always trying to get rid of it, but they're not going to.
No, indeed. No, it's too popular amongst the players right now. So, but I mean, to speak to the Q School stuff, indeed, I think everyone thought that they used to have Q School for LPGA and they used to have the Q School for the Futures Tour, and they decided this year to merge them all together, and they thought that it would actually be easier, quite frankly, because rather than have to play in both, you could play in just one set of you know, stages and earn either a Futures Tour or an LPGA Tour card. So there's a lot of sense to it, in all honesty. It's very similar to what they would do on the PGA Tour with the Nationwide Tour cards as well as the PGA Tour. But what happened here was that they miscommunicated to Stephanie, and they told her, Stephanie is a senior in college. She wants to finish up her last semester at UCLA and just wants to be able to secure a card on the Futures Tour for when she's done with school. You're allowed to still be an amateur and earn a card and play as an amateur or defer that card and turn pro later in the summer on the Futures Tour. but you're not allowed to do that on the LPGA Tour. So she wants this Futures Tour card. She said, calls the LPGA and says, what do I have to do? And they told her that you needed to play in this final stage of LPGA Q School. So she goes ahead and does it, pays the expense and whatnot. But as it turns out, that was incorrect information she was given, that indeed she didn't have to play in this final stage to secure full status on the Futures Tour, have that card already locked up, and just wait out the end of her college season and then go turn pro and play on the Futures Tour. So now she's playing at LPGA final stage of Q School, and she's doing great. She's in the top five. She's in line to actually earn an LPGA Tour card, which on the surface is a great thing, but now she's going to have the dilemma. You can't defer that LPGA Tour card, so she's going to have to, if she wants to, accept it and turn pro right away, and thus skip the second semester of her senior year in college. And not only that, but she's in line to play on the Solheim Cup, excuse me, not the Solheim Cup, the Curtis Cup team again. She's got some other things that she could have done, but if she does finish in the top 20 and wins that LPGA Tour card, my impression is she's going to turn pro and take it because, you know, a bird in the hand, you never know. So she's a little disappointed, I think, because as much as it would be fun and fantastic to earn an LPGA Tour card, she wants to be there for that second semester of her senior year. They're the defending national champions. She has an opportunity to be the college player of the year. She had a great first semester here. And so it's unfortunate that it was a miscommunication that kind of led to all this. And while, again, you should be excited for her if she gets that LPGA Tour card, it could be a really bittersweet moment tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely. It makes you want to scream, pay her back all the money she invested.
All right. Well, yep. With Beth Ann Baldry too, the person you're going to have on, she can probably tell you more about it. But she, you know, the thing, her solution that she pitched yesterday, and I'm in agreement with it, is that for this one exception, say to Stephanie, hey, you can hang on to that LPGA Tour card and just defer it until she's done with the college. I think that would, on a one-time basis, you're not creating a precedent. You're just saying this is mistake, and the way to rectify it. I think that might be the way to go.
Yes. You're absolutely right. We'll be talking with Beth Ann Baldry coming up in about 40 minutes or so. You Big Break Ireland, the gentleman who won, was it, Mark Murphy, right? He's on Nicole Smith's bag. She's in danger of missing the cut. She was also in Big Break. She's tied for 76 right now. And then we have the Canadian, Julien Trudeau. He won, right? And he was writing for Golf Digest.
Well, he came in second. He lost to Mark Murphy, but he was writing. He wrote a blog for us throughout the experience that he was taking us through and trying to give us a behind-the-scenes to that. But, it was amazing because he then connected with Mallory Blackwelder.
Yes. They're now joined, so to speak, the boyfriend-girlfriend. And she's tied for 27th. She's got a 72, 77, 71. Interesting, you know, when you look at the scoring, and you see, there seems to be when someone's doing really well, there's one day that throws you off. Like Stephanie had a 75 yesterday, and I thought to myself, I wonder what happened. You know, she was moving along. And when you talk to players, is there something that happens at some in some round? You get tired, you lose focus.
What happens is golf, unfortunately.
I want you to say that over and over and over.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yes. Indeed, tired, losing focus. Being at Q School, you know, to a certain extent means that you're fighting for your job, and there's that feeling in the back of your mind likely throughout the five or six rounds, whether it be LPGA or PGA. And at some point in time, that creeps back into the front of the mind. And I do think at times people begin to think about things. And lo and behold, a bogey comes, a bogey train comes, and sometimes you hit it. You know, the key, obviously, you know, at any level of golf, but particularly on this week for these players, is to minimize the mistakes and to make that 78 a 74 or that 75 a 71. And so you don't, compound things too much, and you don't let one bad round really throw you out of the tournament. And so, you know, I think you're right. You do see it inevitably here that there's a number that's way higher than the other rounds, and I think that's the day that, you know, maybe they started thinking a little too much and they just needed to stay in their bubble here. And it's the ones who can fight through it that are going to have the tour cards on Sunday.
Okay. Now, see, when you go play golf today, all right, remember, there is a chance that, you know, you'll start thinking.
Don't think. Thinking is a bad thing.
Yes. Oh, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Ryan Harrington, senior writer, Golf World. Golf World Monday, also it's online. Thanks a lot.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. We'll do it again. Because we never got to ask you about, you know, what is your passion about? What are you keenest about in the game right now?
You know, the young people. You mentioned it and before, but on both the LPGA and the PGA Tour, my primary beat is college and amateur golf. So I get to see these people before they become jaded professionals making millions of dollars. But when they do become jaded professionals making millions of dollars, I know that they're really dynamic players. And I think golf's in a good situation right now. If we can get over the they're not Tiger and really do look to these guys, they've got some personality and they can really represent the game well. And I think we're in good shape.
Okay, the what cracked me up when we went into the commercial break is Dustin Johnson. You know, he's an exciting player to watch when he says, when he does the commercial, like, come and see me at the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, it's going to be a very exciting...
Dustin. He sounds like the Terminator, I understand, yeah.
Okay, Ryan, thanks so much for being on the show. Aloha.
Take care, bye-bye.
Bye. We're going to be talking with Sean Martin right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Hitting the Greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
The big hitters of the PGA Tour hit Wailea Country Club for the Sony Open January 9th to the 15th. Come kick off the 2012 tour season with marquee players Kuchar, Furyk, Els, and Choi. Big names, big stakes, big action, small price. Buy tickets to the Sony Open at friendsofhawaii.org or at any First Hawaiian Bank on Oahu. It's the 2012 Sony Open at Wailea Country Club. Visit friendsofhawaii.org.
Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club. But you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the Golf Club.
And welcome in the clubhouse, Sean Martin joining us. Oh, Sean. We're doing... Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Excellent. It's good to have you on the show. You know, we're doing a San Francisco flyaway contest. Someone's going to win a trip for two to San Francisco and stay four nights at the Galleria Park Hotel in a suite, and they'll play at Harding Park. All they have to do to qualify for the drawing is be the ninth caller at 808-296-5467, 808-296-5467. So, you're in the middle of Q School, and this is where the guys, an interesting group of people, are trying to get their tour cards. How many of them, how many are playing, and how many actually get their card?
We got 172 here this week. The top 25 in ties earned PGA Tour cards.
Top 25 in ties. From, you know, looking at Dean Wilson, he seems to do really good under this kind of pressure, because he always ends up back and I don't know how he does it. He's tied for 19th right now going in. But I don't know too much about, you know, I know a lot about the, you know, the Rich Beam, Sam Saunders, Lee Jensen, Bio Kim, Doug Barron, Daniel Chopra, Sean McKeel, David Duval, Tommy Armour, Ty Tryon. But they're not at the top of the leaderboard. Can you fill us in? I was talking a little bit earlier in the show about how we don't know too much about the young people coming into the game. And I know you know a lot, because you're an excellent writer for Golf Week magazine. Will Claxton, I don't know Will.
Will Claxton, been around for about 6 years. He's one of the guys that's what makes Q School great. He's been playing about 6 years, playing on the mini tours, you know, not making a ton of money, just kind of grinding it out. He's played the Nationwide Tour, just kind of played a handful of events here and there. He's a guy now who's 3 days away from possibly earning a PGA Tour card. It's the, you know, it's the beauty of Q School. A guy kind of, you know, rags to riches story. You know, he's going to maybe come to Hawaii, start at the Sony, keep it up over the next 3 days.
Yeah.
Best thing, claim to fame might be he went to Auburn. He plays at home a lot with Jason Duffner. So the guy, of course, who finished second at the PGA. So my Will Claxton's claim to fame right now is who he plays with. But if he earns his tour card, and he has a chance to make a name for himself.
You know, what you brought up is a very interesting point. I'd like to go through some of the players before we talk about the changes that are being proposed by the tour to Q School, maybe eliminating it. But as you said, that the beauty of Q School is that the people who've been working really hard on the mini tours, all of a sudden, bam, they get a chance. So, and here we go. Our qualifier number, again, is 808-296-5467. Do we have a qualifier? Is it Jet from Waimanalo? Oh, how cool is that? Jet, you are our qualifier. You're from Waimanalo. I wasn't sure if they were telling me that, you know, we needed to mention the number again. But no, the Jet, the man, Jet from Waimanalo, we're going to call you and get your phone number so we'll be able to get in touch with you if your name is drawn out and you have won the 4 nights at the Galleria Park Hotel, flying on Hawaiian Airlines to San Francisco, and playing at Harding Park. Have you played Harding Park, Sean Martin?
You know, I haven't, but I go to San Francisco every year, right around New Year's, and spend time with friends, and it's a beautiful city. It's one of my favorite places to be. Great golf courses there, really kind of some old-style courses, tree-lined with some great cypress trees. Pretty scenic stuff over there.
Yeah. Just watching the President's Cup, you know, it was the President's Cup last year, and it was the Champions Tour final event this year. Beautiful golf course. Bobby Gates is also at the top of the leaderboard with Sunil Noh and Matt Jones and Vaughn Taylor. Sunil Noh, is he from Korea?
He's a 20-year-old from Korea, yeah. Kind of interesting story. I like this. We're at PGA West right now in La Quinta. Same property, but not the same courses as the Bob Hope Classic, or now the Humana Challenge, I should say.
Right.
Anyways, in 2008, we're here. Wai Yang is in Q School. Of course, wins PGA Championship in 2009. Coming to the final hole of 2008, he's kind of feeling those final hole pressures that you get here at Q School. He's the par four, the final hole. Even in three shots, he's still short of the green, chips it to about 8 feet. He thinks he can just two-putt it, turns to his caddy and says, I'm okay, right? He says, no, you have to make this. And Wai Yang makes it, gets the final card. You know, if he misses, he doesn't get his PGA Tour card, and he doesn't go on to win the PGA Championship, and as he said, won that PGA, wanted to inspire a lot of young Koreans to come over and play the PGA Tour. And Sung Il Noh is the perfect example of that. He's about 100th in the world. He won on the European Tour last year at 19. Butch Harmon is his teacher, raves about him. He's definitely a real good young player, to be a great addition to the PGA Tour.
Wow, cool. Bobby Gates?
Bobby Gates, another good story. You know, the top 125 on the money list keep their card for next year. So Bobby Gates is right around that number, coming to the final event of the year. He comes to the final hole, hits it to 40 feet, three putts. And, you know, he has to sit around and wait. And basically, DJ Trahan, a couple hours later, birdies the final hole, moved to 125, bumps Bobby Gates to 126 by $1,000. If Bobby Gates a two-putt, he keeps his card. But anyway, so Bobby gets to play in the WGC over in China, plays there, gets salmonella poisoning, comes back. He's lost about 10 pounds. He's now at Q School. He's playing well, you know, getting his card back, and a little redemption, looks like, for that three putt on his final hole that cost him his card.
And that's something, you know, when your job is on the line like that, and it's over one putt, and $1,000, yikes. You know, we're talking, what do you have to earn now to stay? Is it $800,000? It used to be $500,000 would keep you.
Yeah, a little more money in the game. You know, Tiger's helped with that. It's about $800,000 now. So if you think $1,000, that's one stroke anywhere in the season, one stroke at any tournament where he had made the cut, would have been enough to keep him over the edge. I mean, just such a fine line in professional golf.
But you can't think about it when you're playing.
You can't. You'll drive yourself nuts. You know, and he said, too, he had all his friends send emails and text messages, call him, saying, I'm sorry for what happened. And, you know, he said it took him about a week, but after that, he put it behind him. He knew that, you know, hemming and hawing over it wasn't going to help. And he and he put it behind himself. It hurt his friends, I think, more than it hurt him. And obviously he's showing that he's playing very well out here.
I'd like to bring up Ty Tryon. And he's at 134. Again, trying to get back onto the PGA Tour. Was there at 17. Now, was that 10 years ago? Is he really 27 years old?
This is the 10-year anniversary of Ty getting that card at 17. He's a father now. He has a 5-year-old son. He's got a wife. He's been married for several years. He's got a full beard. He's a full adult now. It's funny to see.
Yeah. But what does he do if he doesn't play golf? Does he have a career?
Well, that's the thing that's interesting. I talked to him at the second stage, which he got through to get here. You know, he said that he wishes he had made as much money as everyone said. He was reading his reports about all the millions he got when he turned pro. And he definitely got some, and, you know, he used it to finance his pro career. But now he's just like any other guy where he's trying to make a living. And, you know, he took a year off. He worked at David Ledbetter's Academy to save money to come out and play professional golf again. And he's just like a bunch of other guys here now. You know, it's not about name recognition. You're just out here trying to catch a living. And what you did, you know, 5-10 years ago doesn't really matter.
No, it must feel strange, too, knowing that it's like Birdie Kim. I mean, she knows she can play. She won the U.S. Women's Open. Yeah, you know, and then to not be able to grab that you know is inside of you and get it out. David Duval is a perfect example of that.
David Duval gave a really great quote to the PGA Tour website. You know, he said he's been through a lot of injuries over the years, and that's part of what's caused his fall. And he said if he had just taken that first year where he really started to get injured and taken it off and stepped away from the game and gotten healthy and not tried to fight through it, he thinks he would have been okay. But he tried to fight through the injuries. He had to change his swing to accommodate, you know, to avoid what hurt. And that's just led to all kinds of bad habits. It's a chain reaction. You know, once you kind of get a little out of sync and you start compensating and doing those kinds of things, it's just a bad road to go down. And so now he looks back and wishes he had just taken that 1 year off and gotten himself healthy. And, you know, who knows where he'd be today.
Now, you're at La Quinta, and that's where he shot the 59 and 99. Was it PGA West?
It is. We're on PGA West. There's about 6 courses here. It was not at one of the courses being used today, but yeah, that 59 was probably the 18th green there. It's probably about 1,000 yards from the 18th green here. I mean, he's got to pass by that course every single day on his way to this golf course.
Wow.
So
yeah.
I'm sure you can't help but think that there's a little bit of him in the back of his head that thinks about that and remembers that 12 years ago, he was a guy who was shooting 59 to win golf tournaments.
Yeah, yeah. Tied for 73rd is Sam Saunders, Arnold Palmer's grandson. He doesn't want to be Arnold Palmer's grandson. I mean, how long would you want to have somebody say, yeah, that's Sam Saunders. You know, he's Arnold Palmer's grandson. He wants to be his own man. He gets a lot of lessons from his grandpa, and I'm sure he loves him dearly. But you want to do something more, and he's shot a 68 and a 74, 72. What do you make of his game right now?
You know, Sam is a good player. He was the number one junior in the country before he went to college. He was a good player at Clemson. So he always has had merits. He's, you know, obviously you can't step out of Arnold's shadow, and he knows that's, you know, been to his benefit. It's gotten him exemptions into tournaments and invitations that he normally wouldn't get. So he knows that there's benefits to come along. But, you know, now he's happy. He's starting to earn it. He qualified for the U.S. Open in 2010, which was a big step for him because he felt like he earned that because he qualified on his own merits. And this is a big step for him because he's going to go to the PGA Tour or the Nationwide Tour either way next year, which he's never done before full time. So, you know, you give Sam a full year out there, and he's got a game, he's got talent where he could earn a PGA Tour card if he does end up at the Nationwide Tour.
Okay, explain that. Even though the 25 and ties get a full card, these guys who are in the final stage get some opportunity to be playing on tour? How does that work?
The guys, everyone outside the top 25 earns Nationwide Tour status, and the higher you finish at Q School, the more starts you'll get on the Nationwide Tour. So even if you don't earn your PGA Tour card, if you're not in the top 25, you still have a lot to play for all week. You know, finishing 100th is exponentially better than finishing 80th. So even if that PGA Tour card is already out of sight this week, you still will kind of keep grinding, keep playing, because there's a lot to play for a lot of guys.
Excellent. I was looking at Tommy Armour III, and he's 52. He could be playing on the Champions Tour. I couldn't help but say to myself, why is he doing this?
Yeah, you know, I think today, I mean, with fitness and equipment, it's easier to play at an older age. You know, we're seeing that more and more. Guys like Tom Lehman, Michael Allen. You know, they play the Champions Tour, but when they get a chance, they come down to the tour. And
Freddie
Tom needs another example. Freddie Couples, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the equipment's more forgiving. Guys are in better shape than they were. It's easier to hit it farther. The distance loss, I think, when you're older, isn't as much as it was. And, you know, these guys are competitors. So the Champions Tour is great. You know, it's a great chance to win events again and win a lot of money. But the money is much better on the PGA Tour. If you can win, the benefits are much better. You know, the glory is much better. These guys are competitors, and they want to play at the highest level they feel like they can.
Right on. who's the guy you're following? Who do you want to win?
You know, I'm really interested in Sung Il Noh's story because he is a guy who, you know, he won on the European Tour at age 19. He finished 30th to the U.S. Open this year. He finished 30th to the British Open as well. Like I said, Butch Harmon raves about him. You know, I'm really interested. He looks like he's going to get through here. I mean, there's still three rounds. Anything can happen, but he seems like a guy who could come out next year. You know, it'll be him, Danny Lee, you may remember, won the amateur in 2008.
Yeah.
He's on the PGA Tour next year. There's another player, Sang Moon Bai, who's at Q School, and he's right around the cut line for a tour card. He's 26th in the world. So we're really starting to see a lot of really good young Koreans want to come to the PGA Tour and play there. You know, it's because they grew up where Tiger Woods was the best golfer in the world, but he was also the biggest celebrity in the world, and the PGA Tour is on television more in Korea. So instead of staying home and playing, they want to come over here and play, and we're seeing that.
Yeah, we certainly are. It's exciting. It really is exciting the way it's become so globalized. And he shot a 64 yesterday, so you'll know, and it's just very exciting to see these young kids thinking that they can do it and pulling it off and then doing it because they're so committed and they have the belief in themselves. You know, when you get older, that all goes to hell.
Yeah, you know, one more name for I think your listeners would be interested in, especially when it comes to Sony Open time, is Harris English. He's seventh right now, played in the Walker Cup this year, which is kind of the amateur Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
Won on the Nationwide Tour as an amateur. Guys who play on that Walker Cup and get through in their first year have a pretty good track record. Ricky Fowler did it. Dustin Johnson did it. Webb Simpson did it in his first Q School attempt. So guys who have become good PGA Tour players very quickly have taken this path, and Harris is right on that path.
Wonderful. Well, we also have Doug Barron. Interesting story. He's feeling much better now that he's able to use a hormone replacement therapy for him, wasn't it?
He had low testosterone, which was using testosterone is prescribed by a doctor just to get to a normal level of a healthy male. But testosterone use is not allowed under the PGA Tour drug testing policy. And so he wasn't given permission to use it, but he felt like he had to use it just to lead a normal lifestyle, not to get big and strong and bulky and cheat, but just to live a normal lifestyle. And so he was suspended by the PGA Tour for a year. He petitioned after that year. He was given permission to use it. And so now he's out trying to get his PGA Tour card.
Excellent. Fabulous. Rich Beam, tied for 33. He's doing well. It's good to see him and Sean McKeel. You know, all these guys who've won major championships, and now they're back at Q School. You just got to keep on keeping on. Thanks so much
for
being on the phone.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, you just got to keep it. Golf doesn't do you any favors. I think we all know that. You just got to keep earning it.
Yeah. It's good. It's a good lesson for people who are going out to play this morning, you know? Remember, it's not an easy game. Okay. Thanks. I'm taking up a lot of your time. You got a lot of work. What's your next? Who did you interview this morning, by the way?
You know, we're just getting underway here. First tee time was 8, so no interviews yet. Sung Il Noh actually is in that first group. I'm probably going to head out here and watch him play a little bit to get an up-close view of that game and let people know what I see. But nothing yet today. Still early. It gets dark here like 4, so we have early days, but no one's done quite yet.
Okay. How's the wind?
You know, it's gusty. I think it was the second round on Thursday. It was just brutal. I mean, guys were hitting pitching wedges from 180 yards, that kind of stuff. Just a really tough thing, especially in the toughest week of the year for a lot of these guys. And Monday, the final round, is supposed to get windy. So it'll be interesting to watch. I don't envy those guys. I wouldn't want to, you know, be in their shoes. Especially a gusty wind.
Yeah, and it changes.
When it's gusty like this, you know, there's a little bit of luck involved. You hate to say it because these guys are so skilled, but if your ball is in the air and a huge gust comes and blows it down, or the wind just stops, you know, there's nothing you can do. There were guys posing at over shots. They thought they hit well. The wind dies, and they watched it sail 25 yards over the green. And that's what happens when the wind is gusty and inconsistent like it is here.
Well, we watched yesterday on the 15th hole at the Chevron World Challenge as Tiger Woods and KJ Choi followed each other into the water. And that's kind of unusual for, I mean, first of all, you know, we're playing rather well. But for one great player to put it in the water, that's one thing. But for another great player to just sort of follow up with another water, that was amazing. That just blew my mind.
That's a pretty easy little hole right there, about 160 yards downhill. It's only about an 8-iron for those guys. I mean, hitting the green with an 8-iron for tour players, you know, it's like breathing. Pretty simple. But like I said, when the wind is, you know, changing direction, changing strength, and it's doing so at a moment's notice, there's an element of luck to the game. And, you know, like I said, you don't think there is because these guys are so highly skilled and they're so good and they're so, you know, their games are so honed. But if your ball's in the air and the wind just switches on you, there's nothing you can really do about it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you. It's been far too long. Let's do it again soon, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, Danielle.
Thank you. Sean Martin, Golf Week senior writer. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Join me, Steve Stricker, when the PGA Tour starts the new season at the Winners Only Hyundai Tournament of Champions.
The Hyundai Tournament of Champions, January 5th through 9th at Kapalua's Plantation Course. Bubba Watson, Adam Scott, and KJ Choi highlight a champions-only field. All fans are free on Thursday's Pro-Am Day. Competition tickets are $15 in advance at pgatour.com/Hyundai or by calling 665-9160. Youth 18 and younger are free with a ticketed adult.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
I was going to ask Sean Martin about the new Q School setup, eliminating Q School, and there goes the jet. Oh, it must mean it's time to qualify to win. If you dial 808-296-5467 right now, 808-296-5467, just do it. The ninth caller qualifies to be in the drawing later this month, and the winner gets to go to San Francisco on Hawaiian Airlines and stay four nights in the Galleria Park Hotel in a suite and play at Harding Park. So call 808-296-5467. You could be a qualifier. And yeah, your name could come out. Yeah? Could? Okay, Q School. It could change. It may be that, you know, only nationwide tour players get to get their cards to go into the PGA Tour, and maybe there'll be some form of Q School, and maybe there will be a playoff, a three-event playoff between the guys who get their PGA Tour card, possibly, and the guys who are 126 to 200 on the PGA Tour. Very interesting. But the player advisory board and the policy board reviewing all of this stuff, so no decision has been made. Mary Armstrong, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Danielle.
It's been way too long since we've had a conversation. Something came up yesterday. I didn't expect it to happen quite so quickly. I thought it was going to be more over the weekend. They named the finalists for the Olympic golf course. Now, Mary Armstrong is a golf course architect. She has her own golf course architect company. She's also the executive director of the Rio Grande Golf Course Superintendents Association. Congratulations on that.
Okay.
Excellent. Yes, and just so the phone stops ringing, Greg Salem is letting us know that our qualifier from Couple A is Ken Ekuchi. Thank you so much, Greg, for all the work you do. And Ken, you'll be getting a call. You'll be in the bucket, and your name could come out when we draw the winner. San Francisco Flyaway. It's our anniversary, 14 years. I should know more about golf than I do. You know, you just can't learn enough about this game.
No.
But they came up with the finalists: player Norman, Nicholas, Robert Trent Jones, two,
yep.
Thompson Perret, Renaissance. They did the old McDonald at Bannon Dunes and Savonic,
right,
and St. Andrews Beach, and then Hawtree. I like the fact that they did Badragat in Switzerland in 1956. They say they're the world's longest continuous golf architectural practice. Also in Royal Melbourne, you know. And I can't pronounce these. This Hans? Hansa?
Oh, Gil Hans.
Hans.
Yes, Hans. Yep.
Castle Stewart, Enniscrone.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you like to see do the Olympic golf course?
Well, that's a good question. I'd like to see myself do it, but
I like a woman with aspirations. Yes.
And I didn't actually apply, though, so
what's wrong with you? you gotta keep on trying. Keep on trying these things. Yes, it's important. Yeah.
Well, you know, was Greg Norman named?
Yes, Greg Norman.
I think he was, yeah. You know, for me, I'm familiar with him. I'm familiar with Greg Norman's work, and I'm familiar with Gil Hunt's work. And, the most familiar of those people, I'd say, probably. And I would say either one of them, I think, would do very well. Gil Hunt was doing a lot of work in the Northeast when I was up there. And a couple of his projects, one of them, the most notable probably, was the TPC in where they play the Deutsche Bank, the TPC Boston, where he did an extensive renovation of the Palmer course there. And I like his style. I like his work. And I think he really, really has the profession, at heart, and not just creating a name for himself and that sort of thing. So that's one of the reasons I really would like to see Gil Hans do it.
Excellent. All right. I thought it was interesting. They want it to be, the course, they have legacy interest.
Mm-hmm.
The PGA Tour, Ty Votaw was on Golf Channel talking about it. They want the game to grow after the Olympics. They want to see a first tee style program being played on the course. So I think they want the golf course architects to take all of these things into consideration.
Mm.
They're going to announce the actual, person who's going to do it. I hope it's soon. You know, they've got 4 years. I suppose that's enough time. Beginning of 2012, the first 30 some odd days. It wasn't exactly. Yeah. I like, somebody said, well, what's the big deal about Olympics? You know, golf and the Olympics. For the global, and when you think about it, this is how he put it. He said, if KJ Choi or Lorena Ochoa had she been playing, this is how they pitched having the golf in the Olympics. Martin Kamer, it's a bigger deal in those countries for a golfer to have a gold medal than it is for them to win the Masters. The Masters doesn't mean anything to somebody in Germany or, right? I mean, but you come home with a gold medal. Oh, that counts for something.
Oh, sure.
I like that. There was something else that was brought up this week on the show that I wanted to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
Since you're now Golf Course Superintendent Association Executive Director there in Rio Grande, right?
Mm-hmm.
This gentleman was talking about water and the importance of how water runs through a golf course and keeping it clean so people don't have the same feelings they do about golf courses, about pesticides and the runoff and what have you. Mm-hmm. What are the golf course superintendents doing to counter that feeling that people have that golf courses are not environmentally friendly?
Yeah. Well, there's been a movement, for some time now. I would say, probably more than 20 years, has superintendents doing less in the way of preventative treatments and much more in the way of spot treatments or treatments as needed. There's a term for the management plan that superintendents use now. It's called integrated pest management. And it's not only using pesticides, but it's also using water usage. It's using other kinds of mechanical treatments, such as aerification, and also, judging more specifically when different pests might happen because of environmental conditions. So, I think probably in the last 20 years, the superintendents have done quite a lot, to reduce the amount. I mean, these pesticides are not inexpensive. They can be very expensive, and, the budget really isn't there to do wall-to-wall treatments as people might think there is. The other thing that's happened, in the last 20 years, which is very encouraging, but also poses some difficulty for superintendents, is that, there's a much greater control of pesticides than there were 20 or 30 years ago. Pesticides half lives are not nearly as long as they once were. In fact, sometimes superintendents have a difficult time getting the product to the root zone, for instance, if it needs to get to the roots in order to be successful because of that short half life.
That's amazing. Would be, in other words, it's biodegradable, so to speak.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
So
I mean, all pesticides were, it's just a matter of how long.
How long? What the lifespan was, and so the ones that are out now are so, gentle.
Yeah.
They're so gentle that they hardly get down to the roots.
Pretty
amazing.
At times they can be, the application could not be successful because environmental conditions didn't get the product to the place where it needed to be.
Yeah.
But they keep coming up with more and more improved pesticides, chemicals that assist the superintendent to create the kind of conditions that are being demanded out there. And that's really, I think, what's driving the pesticide market is the conditions that are being demanded.
Everyone is demanding. It's like fishermen. Our golfers. Golfers are fishermen, right? You want
yes,
the stream to be clean, okay?
Yeah.
What's the
clean
problem?
Full of fish.
Right. Clean and full of fish, exactly. And so protecting the water is in everybody's interest. Why would we want to pollute it? It's a mindset that everyone has now. And the one point that Greg Lyman was making from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America was that the more conversations we have about it, the better.
Yeah.
If we're talking about the fact that the Golf Course Superintendents Association and the Golf Course Superintendents are aware and they're working really hard to counter the idea that they're polluting. They're not polluting.
Right.
They care about the earth. They care about their golf course. They they care about the creatures that are in the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like the beauty of golf.
Yeah.
Caring.
Back in the Northeast when I was working back there, there's a golf course, the Essex County Club. You may have heard of it. They had the Walker Cup last year. At one point, the superintendent there really decided that he wanted to find out what the situation is on his course, and he actually did a series of tests over a period of time of water coming into his course because he was situated in where he could isolate the water where the water was coming into the golf course and then where it was going out, and he found that actually the water was cleaner going out than it was coming in.
He needs to advertise that.
it has been advertised somewhat, but I don't really think that that's an unusual situation. In his case, he was below some pretty extensive agricultural practices, and you know, and agricultural practices can be as
taxing,
you know, as much of a problem or more than golf courses. So
yeah, we've had a lot of problems here in Hawaii, all kinds of things, and from the pineapple fields, the runoff into the groundwater. We've had a lot of problems, so we sure. definitely understand. Mm. The cane fields, the same thing.
Mm.
So you wrote an interesting article, because you write a great column every week.
Thank you.
How do you keep up? I mean, you're designing,
yeah.
you're working with the Golf Course Superintendent Association, you're doing all these different things. Plus, and I have not ever had anybody tell me about proper golf cart etiquette. Okay? I just want to say that right up front.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Golf cart etiquette. But you know what? When you get behind the wheel of one,
uh-huh.
yeah, people turn into some strange creature. Have you noticed that? Yes.
I do. I think that there's those people that think they're in the Indianapolis 500.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Then there's those people who think they're in bumper cars.
Yes, yes, yes. All of those
yeah.
things come true. Yes,
yeah.
exactly. It's amazing. It's, I think it's because it's small and it goes quicker than you can run. You know, so all of a sudden you're like in this little compact little bubble, and you think you are invincible and can do all kinds of damage to things.
Yeah.
Oh, what is the most important point in your proper golf cart etiquette that you would like to convey to us?
You know, the thing that comes to mind actually, which don't drink and drive and don't even putt. And by that I mean, you know, you actually are more familiar with how your car handles when you've been drinking, unfortunately, than you do how your golf cart handles when you've been drinking. And I see too many people out on the golf course having a few too many, and I think that a lot of times is the root of the problem with damage.
Wow. Damage to the cart or the course or
well,
the person?
Both. And all three. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I've seen some people take some terrible tumbles with golf
yes.
carts, and the damage that's done to the person is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You
oh, yeah.
can't believe what it can do to you. So,
and, you know, and people, you know, super or golf course architects and engineers who are involved in cart path design take great pains to try and make sure that these things are actually, you know, very safe, you know, that we they're not too steep, the corners aren't too sharp, and yet, you know, there are lawsuits and accidents, you know, all the time, so...
Mm.
Be careful out there.
Yeah, we got started a bit late because we got our time off. I wanted to bring, because I know you're a huge LPGA fan.
I am.
Yeah, and you write about it a lot in your...
Yes.
In your yes, and you must be familiar with Beth Ann Baldry from Golf Week. Beth Ann is a writer for Golf Week magazine.
Okay.
And she's going to join us right now because there was an issue that came up, and she is the person who knows everything
mm-hmm.
about this particular, and I've got to read her opening statement
okay.
in her article.
Mm-hmm.
Beth Ann Baldry, Golf Week Magazine, welcome to the show.
Aloha.
You know, you cracked me up this morning, or it was last night, actually, and I read it again this morning, and I just started laughing again, because it's you summarized the whole problem with the LPGA Q School thing by saying, trying to understand the LPGA's membership criteria makes you feel a bit like Massachusetts family that got lost in a corn maze and calls 911. I feel exactly that way. You know, I don't know. I even though it's been explained to me and I read your article, I still, when I try to stand up and explain it to somebody else, I seem to be missing pieces. You know, it's like I can't find my way through the maze. Now, it used to be simple, right? I mean, there was a Futures Tour Q School, and there was an LPGA Tour Q School. What happened, and how come Stephanie Kono got caught in the trap here?
Well, you know, the LPGA was trying to streamline things, they say, and make it simpler. I don't know that was necessarily accomplished, but... Actually, they're going to make a little bit more money off of it from what I could tell. But anyway, so they went from having a Futures Q School and an LPGA separate Q School to combining the two into three stages. And when they first announced this idea, one of the first questions I had was, well, how many stages does a player need to go through to get full Futures status? Because the last thing these college coaches want is a bunch of players, you know, trying to just get future status and end up with a possibility of getting LPGA status, because no one in their right mind is going to turn an LPGA card down if you're playing hot.
Right.
So, and it was explained to me at the U.S. Women's Open that you could stop after stage two and have full future tour status and not even go to the final stage. So I thought the issue was laid to rest and wasn't going to be a problem. And then when I got to Q School earlier in the week and I spoke with Stephanie Kono, she explained to me that she was told that she needed to be at the final stage to secure a full schedule on the future tour after she graduated. And I was very confused because that's not at all how I thought the system worked. And long story short, she found out the next day from the tour, they posted an open letter that, you know, if anyone was confused about this, you did in fact get all the status that you needed out of stage two, and Stephanie didn't even need to be at stage three, which, you know, it cost $2,500 to sign up for stage three, plus the plane tickets to get from California for her and her father, plus hotel, plus rental car, plus food, plus practice grounds, you know, all these things.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pretty big ticket. So she's not only not going to walk away from that investment that her family has made, but, you know, she was also at the time in second place and is currently tied for third. So she'd be crazy to walk away at this point. But, you know, it's just a shame because Stephanie is the ultimate All-American, never wanted to leave college early, you know, is playing for the number one team in the country and could win back-to-back national championships with them.
I know. And see, what's crazy about this is she was on the show this year, I think it was August, and she was, and Ann Miller from the Star Advertiser wrote an article that Stephanie was in this quandary that she did not want to become a professional. She wanted to finish her UCLA semester, you know, the final semester, and play with her team because she'd been playing. And they're a very bonded group of women and doing so well. But that she was in this, she had to go to the LPGA final stage so that she could get her futures tour status or make it. And she was already confused then. But didn't she make a number of calls to the headquarters at the LPGA?
Well, it wasn't just Stephanie. You know, it was also her coach, Terry Forsythe, called the LPGA twice trying to understand this because, you know, he found it hard to believe that, you know, you'd have to go three stages just to get future status. And the last thing she wanted was to have that carrot of an LPGA card dangling in front of two of her seniors, Brianna Doe, who won the Waffle this summer at Bandon, and then Stephanie Kono, the best player on her team last year. So, you know, they all got bad information from the same source at the tour multiple times, and it's just unfortunate that, you know, it's just so difficult to understand, you know, the new format, and then to try to have someone explain it to you at the tour so that, you know, you make sure you get it right, and it turns out that you got it wrong.
Yeah, from the source, I got it wrong from the source. You know, that's not
correct.
Fair. That's not fair, doesn't begin to, but, you know, I wrote on earlier, or you sometimes, you know, people tell you something is wrong and you've got to deal with it, but it seems like an organization like the LPGA, there should be some kind of, they should do something, a recompense for this, and maybe not, I don't know about paying her back, but I think your suggestion is a very good one.
You know, I think the LPGA, my suggestion was that they should allow her to defer her membership. As it stands now, if you're at Q School as an amateur and you want to accept membership on Sunday night after the final round, you have to declare yourself a professional in order to accept membership. So I think the LPGA should make an exception for Stephanie, given that they screwed up, and that they should allow her to defer membership until after she graduates in June so that she can, you know, realistically, she won't miss too many tournaments on the LPGA schedule anyways because there aren't that many full-field events, you know, that she could get into prior to graduation. But, you know, I understand the LPGA would be worried about precedence. You know, this is obviously a can of worms that they don't necessarily want to open. However, you know, they made a mistake, and they can make it very clear that it's a one-time deal.
I think you're right, and I thank you very much for writing that article. I think you have an excellent... We should all petition them. Let's all start calling.
Well, I mean, I've known Stephanie for a long time, and I've been around a lot of players who were in a hurry to get out of college, and you could tell they weren't really committed to the program, were ready to get out on the tour as soon as possible. And Stephanie has never been one of those players. She's always been very content where she is. My gosh, she's been playing in USGA events as an amateur, like, since the beginning of time, it seems like. She's such a fixture in the USGA. You know, she's beloved by so many of the people on the women's committee. They just love her. She's a Curtis Cup player. You know, she's your ultimate amateur, and
yes, she is.
And was not in a hurry to finish. So it's unfortunate that you know, the memories that she could create, you know, not only winning a national championship, but also... Say she won the national championship as an individual, which is a very real possibility. That could also help her, you know, trying to secure sponsors as she turns professional.
Exactly. I mean, when she was a junior, she won the PGA of America event, went on, and is one of the few Americans to win the international junior PGA. It's just an amazing. She has an amazing career, amazing dedication. Beth Ann Baldry, Golf Week Magazine, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure always. Mary Armstrong, we need to reschedule so we can talk some more about you're doing as an architect, because we've just run out of time. But what are your thoughts on this particular issue as you hear it? What do you think the LPGA should do?
Well, I think it's a disaster for sure. And I agree. I think, you know, that there should be some drastic compensation for her.
Yeah, I do too. Something should be done. Because,
yeah.
I mean, it makes the LPGA look incompetent.
It certainly does.
And that's not, you know, that's not the image they want to have. They don't.
No.
So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk with Ken Varley. I'll be in touch with you, Mary. We'll get another date scheduled. And it's always fun. Beth Ann Baldry, Golf Week Magazine. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle. Yes. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alaka'i Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alaka'i world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alaka'i Mechanical, keeping you cool.
The big hitters of the PGA Tour hit Wailea Country Club for the Sony Open January 9th to the 15th. Come kick off the 2012 tour season with marquee players Kuchar, Furyk, Els, and Choi. Big names, big stakes, big action, small price. Buy tickets to the Sony Open at friendsofhawaii.org or at any First Hawaiian Bank on Oahu. It's the 2012 Sony Open at Wailea Country Club. Visit friendsofhawaii.org.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
It's The Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
Welcome back to the clubhouse. I've been talking about Ty Vochai. He was fun to listen to on Friday on Golf Channel Morning Drive. About appearance fees and the belly putter, you know, would they permit appearance fees on the PGA Tour? and would they ban the belly butter? And basically, you couldn't nail Tybo Trump down to an answer on that. Of course not. But he said, on the belly butter, sometime maybe far down the road, maybe if at all, it would be banned, maybe, if at all, sometime far down the road. But it certainly would come way before the PGA Tour ever allows appearance fees. That was kind of the juxtaposition there, okay? Because the PGA Tour does not need to pay players to play events on the PGA Tour. Thank you very much. And it doesn't matter how many tickets Tiger Woods sells, okay? They got lots of money coming in for charities. But he did say that it grows the game around the world, and it's fine for all of those other places that offer appearance fees. It's important for them to do it because they can attract the very top-tier players, the name players, the ones that actually bring people or bring attention to the game. That's good. And I thought that was good, you know, but they're not going to do it. So we are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KHUI Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, KTOH FM1 Princeville. And we're joined now by Ken Barley. Ken Barley, photo ball marker. You want a great present, not just for, you know, the holidays, but this is a great present year-round. This is a great birthday present for your golfer, for your non-golfer. This is a present that comes as a necklace, as a bracelet, as a ball mark. Let's see now. One is on the visor. You also, I believe, Ken Barley, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Danielle. Glad to be with you.
Good.
I was looking at the Stephanie Kono issue, and I guess what I don't understand is...
Can I just ask you one question real quick before you go there?
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, your ball mark repair, your ball marker, you can get it. You can use it for on the visor, and you've got the visor clip, and you also have the ball mark repair tool, right?
Yes, we have a divot tool that it'll be on, and also on a visor, you can, our hack clip attaches there. With the keychain, you just carry that in your pocket, and you can just bring it out that way, too. The necklaces are more for the grandmas to show around rather than, they're not really for a golf course.
No. That's what I'm saying. I said for a golfer and for non-golfers.
Correct.
So if you wanted to get this really cool present for someone who doesn't, and they don't have to play golf. Okay.
That's correct. And, matter of fact, if you load up about four or five ball markers, and you put a keychain in there and a necklace, you have the perfect gift for grandma and grandpa right there.
Or auntie.
Or auntie.
Don't forget. Auntie.
Correct.
All right. Yes. Okay. So before we tell you all about how to get these and the story behind them, this is Ken Barley, and his wife, Char, plays. She's really good. Right, Ken?
She's pretty good. She's got an 8 handicapper, and she's off to South Africa right now, and she just played a course there, so she's telling me about that. And then once a year we go on vacation, and she tries qualifying for the USGA Senior Women's AM, and I haven't quite made her way. One time she was first alternate, so she's going to make that 1 year.
She's really good, okay? Not pretty good. She's really good, okay? All right.
I'll pass that on.
Yeah, you take. Char was on the show once, and now it's Ken's turn because she's on vacation. But he's obviously, you know, concerned about women's golf, his wife's golf. Now, you were listening to the Stephanie Kono story.
I was.
About LPGA. What were your thoughts on that?
I thought it's really simple. I don't know why it's quite an issue. Is that because seems like all the LPGA has to do is just put an effective as update. And that's all.
Yeah, except that that's not what they want to do, see?
Sometimes you have to do what is right rather than what you want.
Exactly. That was the solution that Beth Ann Baldry proposed in her article. Just let it become effective when she finishes college. Don't make her become a professional until she finishes college, because you put her in this situation. And she didn't have to be in this situation. It's as simple as that, you know.
And
but But whether or not, but the LPGA tends to be a stickler. All organizations tend to be sticklers. And in this case, it wasn't like Stephanie saying, hi, I got the wrong information from this person I talked to in Florida. No, it's not just Stephanie. It was the coach, the UCLA coach. Hello. And she called a couple of times to make sure that she had the information correct. So it's not he said, you know, she said, whatever. It's a couple of people called and got the same information from someone at the LPGA Tour headquarters. That makes the LPGA Tour responsible for giving out wrong information that cost somebody quite a bit of money and grief, you know?
That's true. And yeah. Sometimes you have to do what's right for the people. I mean, we work very hard here to do, you know, what's right for our customers. We take extra steps to everything, and it seems like that's the best way to do business.
It is. It certainly, it makes your, you know, you want your product to look good. If you want your product is the LPGA. That's your product. You know, if you want that to be unblemished, then yeah, you've got to say, you know, I made a mistake. That's one thing that I was disappointed in Ty Votaw when I was watching Golf Channel. He didn't say we made a mistake about the Player of the Year ballot. I wish he'd just said we made a mistake. We forgot that the HSBC belongs in the ballot for the vote. We made a mistake. It won't say that. Well, it was our prerogative, and it was necessary to put that because it belonged in the season. Yeah? But you told everybody that the ballots were going to be sent out, you know, and this was the cutoff. You made a mistake. Just say it. I don't know what is up with people, and they can't say that made a mistake. Hello. Everybody does. All right. Let's talk about photo ball marker. This is a gift for the holidays. All right?
It's a very cool gift.
It is a special gift for the holidays because you can take your pictures. You know the ones that you don't print out anymore that are stuck inside your computer? and you take them and you put them on your phone and you go, see the picture? And people are going, yeah, all right, I can see that picture. Anyway, you take your favorite pictures of your dog, your cat, your grandchild, your child, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend. It doesn't matter. How many can they? You can send in not just one. How many?
We have several different options for ordering. We have our original three photo set, which is really nice. You would upload three photos and then select the accessory you want, and type in your address, and click the order button. And it was that easy to order. And a lot of people were placing that order twice. So what we did now for about just a few weeks ago, we made a option for a five photo set. And so now you can upload five photos and select an accessory, and that becomes it takes minutes. It's very easy to do. And we're finding more people are ordering the five photo sets than the three photo sets. So we think that is terrifically cool. And then we have a third option where you just build your own. You can build as many as you want.
So you don't even have to make a decision.
No. We get some rather large ones. We get some people go crazy and they have a lot of fun. We also did some corporate ones. We've made some corporate ones for you guys, for your sponsors.
Absolutely, and they love them. They love them. And now, explain what this photo ball marker is. Explain what that. Tell us what it looks like.
It's a 1-inch diameter. It's epoxy dome, and it's very, very, very shiny. And it's a 1-inch ball marker. Has a photo, totally sealed within a UV protected cover, so they last a long, long time. They're all handcrafted. We make them all by hand. And then we also, on the back of the ball marker, we have a little Lyman arrow. And one thing Char does with that Lyman arrow is when your ball is in line with somebody else's line on the putt, then you move it like one putter head to the right or left, and then she turns her marker over and has a Lyman arrow point right back toward the original spot.
The back arrow
actually does some things, too.
That's cool. See? She's really good.
She needs me.
Okay, how do we get to you? What's the best
line? Actually, it's very easy. We have a special page for your listeners, and you're aware of this. And the URL, the web address, is golfclub.photoballmarker.com. That gets your listeners $5 off on an order. And they go there in the right place because they see a great-looking banner at the top of it with I believe it's your smiling face, if I remember right. And they can build their order right there. And if they want to go to one of our other order options, they type in promo code The Golf Club, and then they'll get $5 off their order that way. And from Char's visits, we get several orders from Hawaii each time, and Hawaii is one of our best states, thanks to you and Char having visits in the past. So we're excited
excellent.
To be talking with you.
PhotoBallMarker.com. PhotoBallMarker.com. It's PHOTO. Okay? And that's it. PhotoBallMarker.com. Get your pictures. Be ready to make a great gift for someone. Lots of people. In fact, I have two Twitters, right? It's The Golf Club, and there's also my DT 808 traffic that I do for folks who count on traffic reports. And someone's friend, I had put it out on my traffic Twitter account, and they ordered from you because she lost her ball marker. It's so cool to get feedback like that. I was so excited. Tell us your story. We want to start a new feature. Tell us your story. We have about 60 seconds. Do we have enough time to do it?
We have enough time. I'll tell it quickly, okay? Anyways, a few years back, Chris is my oldest son, and he played AJGA tournament, so he was a fairly good player. And we were in Moreno Valley, and I was in the gallery being a special dad, and we're on the 10th hole. He's on a 10th hole. I'm a special dad now, I say we.
And of course.
He just shot dead left, which is really hard to do. And so after the round, I asked him, what happened on the 10th hole? And he looked at me and he said, well, my ball was here and there was a hole next to my ball. And I let the rattlesnake climb into the hole, waited a little extra time before I straddled the hole to hit my shot. I took a backswing, and at the top of my backswing, Dad, he rattled. And this is a true story.
Oh, my God. Me, I would have run.
You actually got into a rules question.
That's amazing. He actually waited for the rattlesnake to go back into the hole, and then he waited a little bit longer to make sure it was settled in the hole.
That's exactly what he thought.
But then it rattled while he was in his backswing.
The ball went dead left.
That's amazing. We have to talk again. You're so much fun.
Ken Barley. I knew we'd have fun, and thanks for having me.
Thank you, Ken Barley. It's always a pleasure talking to you. We have to wrap
Char
it up. Okay. Hi, Char.
All right. I'll pass it on.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and thank you for making the golf club possible. Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones, Jr., bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. The Hyundai Tournament of Champions at Kapalua on Maui, January 5th, is the Pro-Am. Competition through the 9th, that's a Monday. See the best of the best at the 2012 PGA Tour season opener on the Plantation Course at Kapalua Resort. Alaka'i Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing and air conditioning, sheet metal. Hey, when you need a new roof, flashing gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, commercial kitchen, and all done, designed by them, and then fabricated, it is Alaka'i Mechanical. The Sony Open in Hawaii is the first full field event on the 2012 PGA Tour season. Follows on January 10th to the 16th. You can buy your tickets for the Sony Open in Hawaii, friendsofhawaii.org, or at any First Hawaiian Bank on Oahu. Star Protection for property threats, risk assessment protection for your home or your business. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2011.